Insurance professionals work hard every day to keep people safe. But as technology transforms the industry, how can insurers protect not only their clients, but also shield themselves from ever-changing cyber risks? My name's Elizabeth Blossfield, and I'm the host of the Insuring Cyber Podcast, a bi-monthly look into how the world of cyber and the business of insurance are connected. Welcome back to the Insuring Cyber Podcast, and happy 2021. For the first episode of the new year, I thought it would be a good idea to take a look back at some of the big trends in cyber insurance in 2020 and what cyber insurers are paying attention to this year. The year 2020 gave cyber insurers a lot to focus on. There was the increase in ransomware attacks, phishing and hacking concerns as remote working became the norm due to the coronavirus pandemic, increased regulatory concerns as state regulators began to focus even more on cyber risk, and cyber insurance claims growing in number and complexity on the back of all of these trends. As cyber insurers begin preparing for a new year and a fresh start, I spoke in December with Lauren Winchester, Vice President of Smart Breach Response at Corvus, a provider of artificial intelligence-driven commercial insurance products. She discussed the cyber risks that insurers will need to pay attention to this year and lessons learned for the cyber insurance industry in 2020. Here's our conversation. Hi, Lauren. Thanks for speaking with me today. How are you doing?
I'm good. Thanks for having me on, Elizabeth.
Yeah, of course. So just to start off, I was curious what you see ahead for cyber insurers in the new year and what potential risks or challenges should be on their radar.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I think everyone can say we're going to still continue to grapple with the ransomware problem, right? The increased frequency and severity is not going away anytime soon. So that certainly continues to be on the horizon. But I think, you know, we also can expect to see more of these aggregated type events or incidents. So cloud providers getting hit, IT managed service providers getting hit. Those have been targets of the ransomware attack actors. And, you know, I think they find those to be really lucrative because if they hit those managed service providers, they're able to impact all of their clients potentially and demand much higher ransom demands. And so I could expect to see more of those, and those obviously create issues for the cyber insurer, potentially having several, if not many, downstream policyholders impacted. And, you know, that can be challenging from a resources standpoint and getting the right vendors lined up. And then last, I think visibility into vulnerabilities is going to be really key. So how cyber insurers manage to partner with other vendors or, you know, build in-house capabilities in order to get a better sense of their risk pool and the vulnerabilities among their policyholders.
Sure. Yeah, that makes sense. And you mentioned ransomware. I know that was a big topic of discussion this year with attacks growing more frequent and severe. How has the insurance industry's knowledge of ransomware changed, and how will the lessons learned from 2020 be helpful as the industry prepares for 2021?
Yeah, I think, you know, we've gained a lot of knowledge over the past couple of years. And the biggest lesson to be learned is that we should assume there will be constant changes with ransomware and the ransomware threat landscape. You know, we used to say, oh, huge ransoms won't be a regular occurrence. Well, that's shown to be wrong. We now see ransom demands in the 7 and 8 figures, and some insurers are likely seeing that weekly. We used to say ransoms are going to be somewhat proportional to the size of the business, and that too has proven to not be the case. And we used to think, you know, they pretty rarely will exfiltrate data. They're just in it to encrypt and extort, and they're not really getting in ahead of time and looking for data and taking that. That again has changed in the past year, and threat actors have been coming into systems, taking data and using that as a second means to extort companies. So I think that really the lesson here is to assume that things will change. Try and be on top of that and learn to continuously adapt and find tech-enabled ways to assess that risk.
Okay, yeah, and there's also been a lot of talk about increased phishing and hacking attempts as telecommuting has continued for many companies during the COVID pandemic. Do you expect this to continue into 2021 as well, or could it become less of a focus as more companies get used to using this technology to work from home?
So I think that unfortunately, it will continue to be a problem. Yes, more and more companies have adapted to this new landscape where we have many workers working remotely, will continue to work remotely, and they've made adjustments to their infrastructure to allow for that. But I think that the quick ramp up in order to do that means that shortcuts were very likely taken. And you have to keep in mind a lot of these companies, while they quickly adapted to be able to get their workers to remotely work, they didn't necessarily invest more in cybersecurity or invest more in headcount for the IT team to be able to do this. So I think that, you know, there is a very good chance that companies, particularly those that are still struggling during the pandemic, are not going to necessarily have the resources and new headcount to shore up their systems that have a much larger attack surface now. So, you know, remains to be seen, and hopefully the companies that are still successful and doing well during these trying times are able to invest in those headcounts. But I suspect that phishing attacks and leveraging the larger attack surface is going to continue to be a trend.
Okay, sure. Yeah. And you mentioned that companies are going to have to learn to adapt. And I've heard that buyers are starting to purchase more standalone cyber policies as they become more concerned about having protection against these increasing cyber attacks. What would you say to cyber insurance buyers in 2021 as they consider the right policy? And how can insurers work with their clients to secure proper coverage?
I think, you know, insurance buyers and working with their brokers should really be considering what else their cyber insurance company can be doing for them. It's really so much more than just risk transfer at this point. And so they should and can ask more of their cyber insurer. So, you know, there are insurers out there like Corvus who are offering additional services. We at Corvus have our Corvus Scan, which is an external non-invasive scan of their IT infrastructure. We're doing that at the front end in order to better assess risk and assign a Corvus score and take that into account when we're underwriting. But then we use that as a risk mitigation tool throughout the policy period. And we will generate scans, send those to our policyholders so that they can see what we're seeing and they can hopefully take steps to make themselves more secure. And then we have other offerings as well. We make our CISO available for consulting and to walk through their scan and give cybersecurity related advice. We do webinars, we have tip sheets, we have risk management portal, and we're doing incident response planning and reviews with our policyholders. So, you know, kind of getting buyers to understand that this is a partnership. And it's mutually beneficial for us and for them that they take cybersecurity very seriously and lean on us for resources and recommendations.
Yeah, that's a great point. Well, Lauren, it's been great to speak with you today. So thanks so much for taking the time. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
In its 2020 Market Conditions Report on Cyber Liability, Gallagher reported that the buyer's market that cyber insurance has seen for several years may have finally turned. This comes as significant increases in claims frequency and severity were seen in 2020, as ransomware attacks in particular have increased, along with a greater regulatory risk environment, Gallagher reported. This has brought on concerns, as Tim Zielman and I discussed in December, about whether pricing will be able to keep up with claims frequency in the cyber insurance space. Tim is a vice president and global cyber product owner at Hartford Steam Boiler, or HSB, which offers insurance for equipment breakdown, cyber risk, data breach, identity recovery, and employment practices liability. In this interview, Tim also discussed what cyber insurers can learn from the pandemic experiences of 2020 and offered his best advice for cyber insurers as they begin a new year. Hi, Tim. It's great to be speaking with you today. How are you doing?
Good, Elizabeth. How are you? It's good to be talking to you as well.
Yeah, I'm doing well, thanks. So as we're heading into a new year, I know that there have been some concerns in the cyber insurance space about whether pricing will be able to keep up with claims frequency. Do you see this as a concern in 2021? And if so, how can insurers prepare for a potentially more challenging market this year?
Yeah, I think insurers are going to have to prepare for a more challenging market this year, but I'm not concerned that there will really be capacity problems, which I think would be the result of pricing being unable to keep up with claims frequency. As you probably know, the cyber insurance industry has seen a significant impact to their bottom lines in 2020 based on changes in ransomware. And so there's a lot going on in the cyber insurance industry in terms of trying to adjust to that situation to make changes to pricing, or at least evaluate pricing to make sure it's adequate, to look at underwriting appetite, risk appetite, about maybe which classes you're interested in writing and which ones maybe you think have too great an exposure to ransomware, about tinkering with insurance terms, limits and deductibles and sublimits in particular, to make sure that you're in a good place for covering some of these claims that have been a problem over the last year or so. But I don't really have a concern about serious problems in the industry. I think there will be winners and losers, but I think the cyber insurance industry will get through this in a positive way.
Sure. Yeah, that makes sense. And I know I've heard some concern about COVID-19 related cyber events, especially as many companies are working remotely. Have you seen any exclusions being added to cyber policies for COVID-19 related cyber events, similar to what's happened for virus risks in the business interruption space? Or do you expect this to happen at all?
Yeah, I mean, it's been an interesting year, obviously, from a whole bunch of perspectives. But from an underwriting of cyber insurance perspective, earlier this year, in kind of the March and April timeframe, when it was just starting to dawn on everyone that we were going to have a major pandemic event ahead of us, those of us in the cyber insurance industry, probably like everybody that's underwriting any line of insurance, kind of looked forward to see what the potential impact on cyber insurance, a COVID-19 pandemic, could be. There's a lot of speculation about how it might impact cyber insurance. And I think, one of the things with cyber insurance, in contrast to some other lines of insurance, is that cyber, for the most part, is not an industry directly impacted by COVID, or even directly impacted by some of the reactions to COVID, like government orders and things like that. The exposures and impacts that we were concerned about were more secondary. How might cyber criminals take advantage of the pandemic to launch different kinds of cyber attacks, or launch more cyber attacks, or change their tactics? How would the work from home phenomenon have an impact on cyber risks in terms of companies quickly setting up technology platforms that allow employees to work from home, or to allow customers to access them through online means rather than kind of brick and mortar sort of in-person commerce. So we were concerned with those secondary impacts of cyber rather than direct impacts of cyber. So for that reason, I don't see there being widespread addition of exclusions, specifically excluding COVID exposures. What I would expect is for carriers to go back and kind of re-examine their existing exclusions, particularly in light of what we've seen. We now have 8 or 9 months of kind of experience with COVID and with pandemics generally that we didn't have before, to look at their exclusions to make sure they're happy with them. But I wouldn't expect to see any sort of widespread addition of COVID-specific exclusions to cyber insurance policies.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. And one thing I was interested in is AM Best released a sort of interesting report back in the summer that acknowledges some similarities between a pandemic and a cyber attack. It explains that there are no geographical boundaries to either, and both can result in big losses for business interruption and trade credit and professional liability, for example. How can cyber insurers learn from the pandemic experiences of 2020 and apply that knowledge to their cyber coverage in the new year?
Yeah, I think this is a great question to think about kind of big picture, the similarities between a widespread cyber attack and a pandemic, and kind of can we look at this COVID experience in terms of the kind of risk that it is and the broad characteristics of the risk and of the kind of phenomenon, and apply it to cyber insurance. And thinking about this, kind of the lesson that I think I took away from it, and kind of the similarities that I see, I think the lesson is kind of pay attention and learn the lessons of the close calls. So when you think about the COVID-19 pandemic that we're in the midst of right now, it's not the first one. We had inklings that things like this might happen. Over the last decade, we've seen SARS and swine flu and avian flu and things like that. So there've been some smaller scale events that could have turned into something like this. And I think many of us, certainly me, when COVID started hitting the news in December and January, I thought it was just going to be another one like that, that has a small scale impact, but never really gets to be the major, you know, obviously global problem that COVID-19 has been. So we saw a couple of smaller events, maybe learned our lesson from them, maybe didn't. I would say probably not. But this wasn't the first event like this to happen. And I think you can make an analogy to cyber attacks. We haven't seen the big one yet. We haven't seen the massive cyber hurricane that everybody worries about and models. But we have seen some smaller events. In particular, in 2017, we saw NotPetya and WannaCry. So kind of, you know, so that's the similarity I see between the two sort of phenomena. And I think the lesson there is don't ignore those near misses. Don't expect that the future is going to look like that, that we're always going to have these small, somewhat contained events that might be big, but are not the massive big one. That some of these events that we've seen that have kind of been near misses probably will, in retrospect, will look back and see them as precursors to the big one when the big one does actually happen. So, you know, I think the bottom line there is really to keep your focus in cyber insurance on accumulation, to plan for that big one that might look like a WannaCry or a NotPetya event, but on a much larger scale and much greater impact, and plan for what that would mean to your cyber insurance business. You know, how is that going to affect your capital situation? How is that going to affect just kind of practical claims handling? You know, how are you going to deal with a cyber cat like that from a claims, logistical, you know, how do you have enough adjusters and things like that to deal with that, and learn the lessons to the extent you can from some of these similar but smaller events that we've seen in the past.
Yeah, that's a great perspective. And yeah, just like you said, I never anticipated living through a pandemic of this scale. And there's definitely a lot to be learned from some of those near misses. So that's great advice. And sort of given everything that we've talked about so far, I was just curious, what's your best advice for cyber insurers as they head into 2021?
You know, I think it's probably maintain discipline. Over the history of cyber insurance, over the last 5 to 10 years, which has been most of the history, 10 to 15 years maybe, the history of cyber insurance, it's been a constantly growing line of insurance. And it's been an area where new companies could jump in and participate and gobble up some of the growth available in cyber insurance without too much worry about adverse loss experience. And so, you know, I think it's fair to say that we had some fairly reckless behavior in the cyber insurance market in terms of new and old participants in the marketplace, you know, constantly expanding coverage and reducing rates. And that worked for a long time, but with the real uptick in ransomware losses that we saw over the course of 2020, it's clear that you can't get away with that anymore. That just like in other kinds of insurance, it's disciplined underwriting that is going to be the key to continually profitable business. That, you know, some of this more risky behavior that we saw on the part of carriers in the cyber insurance space is going to get people into trouble. So I think, you know, keeping your eye on disciplined underwriting throughout 2021, trying to figure out, you know, in particular, some of these ransomware situations and what can be done as a carrier in terms of risk selection and adequate pricing and, you know, proper use of insurance terms and things like that. I think that's going to be increasingly important in the cyber insurance industry.
Great. Well, Tim, this has been a really interesting conversation. So thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you, Elizabeth. I've enjoyed it.
That's it for this episode. Thanks to everyone for tuning in, and thanks to Lauren and Tim for taking the time to speak with me. I hope you all enjoyed this first podcast episode of the new year, and stay tuned for more episodes publishing every other Wednesday. Once again, my name's Elizabeth Glossfield, and I'm the host of the Insuring Cyber Podcast, a bi-monthly look into how the world of cyber and the business of insurance are connected. Thanks for listening.